Hello, I'm Ray. Welcome to another podcast episode. This one is all about school in the 50s and 60s. A lot of people have said, what was it like in your day when you were at school? You know, we've heard about people getting the cane and all this sort of stuff. Did it really happen? Yes, it did. I got the cane. I played truant. Truant is where you bunk off school, basically. I think that's the modern day term for it. You bunk off school. I played truant because I didn't like school. I used to sneak off, walk down the drive with my bike, hoping that no one was looking. And I got away with it every week. Every Friday afternoon, I bunked off school. Till one Friday, I heard this voice, "You boy!" Oops. The deputy headmaster had seen me. I had to go back because he would have realised, you know, he would have done a sort of head count and who's missing. So I had to go back. I got the cane. Six of the best. Bend over. Bamboo cane, woof, six times. I was telling my grandson about that the other day and he said, "What's the cane?" I said, "Well, it's where you have to bend over and they hit you. They whack your bum at least six times with a bamboo stick." And his face, wow. He couldn't understand that at all. And I explained it was because I bunked off school. And I said, do people bunk off school these days? "Well, yeah, some do, but I don't," he added hastily. He did ask me why I bunked off school. I told him the truth. I didn't like school. I hated it. I hated every moment of school. And I think that went back to my very early days of primary school. We were given pens when we were learning to write. I don't know, I was about 5 years, 6 years old, or I don't know. These pens were basically little wooden sticks with a nib on the end that you dip in your inkwell. All the desks had an inkwell. You dip your nib in the inkwell. Now, I'm not going back to the 1800s. It wasn't a quill. It wasn't a feather. And I was writing away, dipping in the ink and writing away, trying to get the words looking nice on the paper. And this teacher came up, "You're doing that wrong. You shouldn't push the nib upwards on the paper. All the strokes should be down." And I thought, OK, down, OK. And she didn't explain. She just walked off. So I was trying to make every stroke go down on the paper. And, of course, sideways. You have to do that to an extent. But I was trying not to push the pen up at all. She didn't tell me how to do it. She just told me she should have demonstrated. And I noticed, I looked at some of the other kids, they were all doing the same. They were all pushing the nib up on the paper. She came back sometime later and she said, "Well, that writing is atrocious." I'll never forget that word, atrocious. And I said, "Well, I'm trying to make all the strokes go down." And of course, in trying to do that, it looked awful. And she just moaned at me and walked off. There was this kid next to me and he was laughing and sniggering and pointing at me. So I took my inkwell out of the desk and I threw the ink all over his white shirt, put the inkwell back in my desk and I carried on writing. And he, "Oh, miss, look at my shirt. Look, he did that." Of course, she came over and I thought, here we go, I'm in trouble now. I was only a young kid. And she said, "Of course he didn't. You spilt ink down your shirt. Don't try to blame other people." And he got a right telling off for it. So this time I looked at him and sniggered. I think my hatred for school came from kindergarten. I was, three, 4 years old? And we had free milk, you know, these little third of a pint bottles you used to get years ago, free school milk, little third of a pint bottles. These would arrive in a crate, I remember it clearly, and along one wall in this sort of room where we had our kit, I think it's probably the village hall or something, there were wardrobes, old wardrobes, where in there they kept toys and drawing paper and crayons, all that stuff. So this crate of milk would arrive and they'd put it on top of one of the wardrobes. The idea was, above the wardrobes was a row of wall heaters. So the milk would warm up. This was winter. So the milk would warm up. I hated warm milk. There's just the smell. Even now, I think this is where it came from. If I smell boiling milk, if it boils over and it gets that skin on it, it absolutely stinks. It makes me feel sick. It stinks. And I was forced to drink this warm milk. And I did. I remember saying, even at that early age, "Can I have cold milk?" "No, no, you have warm milk. You have to have warm milk. We all have warm milk." Oh, dear. I think that's probably where my very, very early hatred of school began. And that's probably where my hatred for school dinners began. I remember getting to school 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, and you could walk past the kitchens and there were things boiling. I remember looking through the windows. There were big vats of things boiling. What it was vegetables. This is before 9 o'clock in the morning. Carrots, cabbage, whatever else, cauliflower, whatever it is, it's boiling. Dinner wasn't till about 12, half past 12. It remained boiling all morning. So by the time the vegetables ended up on the plate, especially the cabbage, well, all of it, carrots, whatever it was this sort of soggy, wet, horrible mush. Any nutritional value had gone, so forget all about that. And it was absolutely disgusting. There were several things I didn't like about school dinners. I didn't like liver, for example. They were often dishing up liver. That was disgusting. In the hall where we had dinner, I used to sit right next to this piano, this upright piano. The back of the piano was facing out into the hall, and I'd sit by the back of the piano. Why? It had a kind of cardboard or hardboard back, and there was a hole in it. Very, very useful for popping things like liver and other disgusting looking lumps of meat, whatever it was, pop it into the hole in the back of the piano. Because the teachers would wander around, they eat that up, look, that's good for you, that liver, eat that. I was forced to eat it. That's what turned me right off liver altogether. So anything I didn't like ended up in the back of the piano. It was really great. I used to get there early so I could grab this table and this chair right next to the back of the piano. After a few weeks, months, I can't remember, this dreadful smell started filling the assembly hall. And the caretaker discovered that it was coming from the piano. And of course, when he took the back off, I wasn't there at the time, but we heard that when he took the back off, there was this horrible, rotting, decaying mountain of food inside the base of the piano. So in assembly, right, who did that? Who's been sitting there? Of course, they hadn't got a clue who sat there because the kids used to swap around different tables. But that put an end to that, sadly. What I used to do then was take a piece of paper in with me in my jacket, my blazer pocket, and I'd wrap anything disgusting in there, put it in my blazer pocket and dump it in the bin later on when I was in the playground. It was during my school days that I became a vegetarian. Now, back then, it was looked upon as rather weird. People, you don't eat meat. And I just couldn't face it. I remember what really put me off, apart from the liver. I won't go on about school dinners throughout the whole episode, but it's just interesting the way it moulds people and they develop and form the character and the rest of it from school experiences. I had some, I think it was beef. I don't know, really don't know what it was. And there were veins in it. You could see the veins, there's like these holes, there's tubes. And I looked at these veins and I didn't know what they were. I said to someone, what's that? And someone said, oh, that's the veins and arteries. And I thought, oh dear. And the bacon had all white little bits of bone in it. I didn't like that. The whole thing, the whole school dinner thing, as far as meat was concerned, at least, just put me right off. When I became an adult in later years, into my 20s, I tried meat. I tried all various types of meat, chicken, burgers, the rest of it. I just didn't like it. I think the school dinner experience was so ingrained in my mind that I just couldn't eat any of it. And I've, basically been vegetarian all my life. Moving away from school dinners and on to education, I don't know why these days so many kids at school and that leave school don't understand basic punctuation, basic grammar. The amount of people I hear say, young people I'm talking about, well, and older people, they'll say, oh, me and Fred went to the shops. Well, that's completely wrong. It was drummed into us at school, easy to remember. You put the other person first. Some people get it half right by saying, Fred and me went to the shops. They're halfway there. Take Fred away. What would you say? Me went to the shops. No, you'd say I went to the shops. So you don't say me went to the shops. Fred and I went to the shops. Someone said to me the other day, oh, yes, I know that me and Fred is wrong, but that's the modern way of doing it. That's old-fashioned, saying Fred and I. Old-fashioned. Don't have the grammar rules changed then? I don't know. Mind you, I think they have so many things. What does some think mean? Nothing. Anything. There's no such words, and yet they are used. I've heard them used on the TV, by adults in various programmes. Some think. I don't know. I don't understand that. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, I can't go to school these days and experience the modern schooling. But I do, you know, I talk to kids. I've got grandchildren. I talk to them. They tell me what's going on, which is sometimes interesting, sometimes very depressing. And other parts of it are really encouraging. But that was drummed into us at school, grammar. I mean, take MPs, for example. You know, MPs in Parliament decided to cancel Christmas. Well, it's MP little s, okay? Capital M, capital P, and little s. Why do people put an apostrophe in? That's a possessive thing. Anyway, let's not worry about that. But education as far as grammar and that sort of thing is concerned, seems to be virtually non-existent now. At primary school, I was 11 years old and we took this test, this sort of little exam thing. No one knew what it was. I mucked about. I couldn't be bothered with it. And we all finished the test afterwards, went out into the playground, and someone said that was the 11 plus exam. Oh, was it? We didn't know that. None of us knew that. Oh, yeah, that was the 11 plus. That decides if you pass, you go on to a grammar school. If you fail, which I did, you go on to a secondary modern school. So I went to a secondary modern school for boys. And what they did there, they basically, looking back, they churned out factory workers. The metal workshop was brilliant. The wood workshop was brilliant. Anything to do with hands-on stuff. There was also a chap there was a car engine. I don't know what he did, this teacher, but he had a car engine. I never went to that class. It was on a sort of metal frame on wheels, and he used to start it up, show people how it worked, how to repair it, all the moving parts. I never got involved with that, which was a shame because that would have interested me. But basically, they were churning out factory workers. And at the girls' school up the road where my sister went to, they had what they called domestic science. They were churning out housewives to be and mothers to be, you know, cooking, all that sort of thing, repairing, darning socks, house chores, shopping and all that. So basically, they're churning out housewives and factory workers. I don't know about the grammar school because I didn't go there. Had I gone there, had I passed the 11 plus, which I wouldn't have done even if I'd known that we were doing the exam, I would have been no good at grammar school because academically I was absolutely useless, total failure. I liked science and I liked English. Those two subjects I was very good at. But the rest of it, forget it. I remember in history the teacher saying, well, come on, you know what this date is. I don't know, let's take a date. Well, 1066, everyone remembers that. But, oh, 1534, what happened then? Well, I remember saying to her, I don't know, I wasn't there. And she wasn't very amused at that. She said, I've told you all these dates, you've written them down. And I said, yes, I know that, and I've got them all written down. Oh, look, I showed her all neatly in my book. I said, but I can't remember them. You know, my brain doesn't seem to want to remember what happened in 1438. I mean, I just can't remember. Probably because I wasn't interested. Now, if someone had said, oh, in 1944, a new form of radar was introduced. Right, that's interesting. 1944, during the war years, they improved radar or introduced a new system. That I would remember because I was interested. The art teacher was amazing. He'd sit up at his front desk looking at us lot, and he had a cigarette going and his ashtray and his lighter on the desk. So he would sit there smoking. Not only that, he had a transistor radio on his desk, listening to the pirate ships in the North Sea, Caroline, London, listening to the radio, pop music and smoking. I mean, all he needed was a bottle of scotch and a glass on the desk just to finish it off. But can you imagine these days, a teacher at the front of the class smoking and listening to a radio? Most of the teachers smoked, of course, as most of us kids. Well, we didn't smoke, but we tried cigarettes. I was round the back of the bike sheds. That's where it all happened, isn't it? All the smoking. I was on my own, actually. A teacher came round and caught me, and I thought, here we go. And he said, you shouldn't be smoking. And he looked round. Then he said, can you spare a cigarette? So I gave him a cigarette, lit it for him, and off he went. So he didn't seem to care that I was smoking. He just wanted a cigarette himself. Someone blew up the toilet block. I don't know who it was. It was nothing to do with me or my class. Someone put a bomb down the toilet bowl, you know, the porcelain pan. This bomb blew the toilet apart and wrecked the kind of cubicles in there. I don't know who did that or what the bomb was made out of, but That caused quite a fracas. That was quite an exciting day, that. The toilet block being blown up. I remember the maths teacher after class one day, he took me aside and he said, "You can't do this, can you?" And I said, "No, I can't. I can't get my head round mathematics." And he said, he was a nice chap. I remember his name. Very nice chap. And he said, "Look, let me sort of give you 20 minutes tuition after school each day just to try and help you." So I was grateful for that. And I went along to his class after school. And after a few days, he just said to me, "You can't do this, can you? You're right." He said, "You've got some sort of blockage as far as mathematics is concerned." Very nice chap. But he said, "Look, in future, do your best. Listen to what I'm saying and don't worry too much about it." He did say to me that not everyone can do mental arithmetic. Not everyone can work out mathematical things. Their brains just don't want to do it. And for some reason, that is a blockage or whatever. So he said, "Don't worry about it." He really was trying to help me, which was excellent. We very often hear on the news that the government's going to change the education system, going to bring this in or bring that in or do away with whatever. I don't know. I mean, as I said, I'm not at school these days, so I don't know. But I don't think there is a way of changing it to make it any better. There will always be the kids like me, the ones that aren't too bright at the back of the class. There will always be the genius type kids at the front of the class. I remember in our maths class, there was this chap, Alan, his name. He'd read the question on the blackboard, and as he's reading the question, he's writing down the answer. And he got it right 100% every time. He could just do it. He could just work out mathematical things in his mind with barely thinking about it. Amazing. I remember he'd written all the answers down, and I'm still trying to understand the question. I think that was one of my problems. I never understood the question. Which, looking back, I don't know, must have been a massive failing on my part. All schools back then were pretty strict on the uniform. You had to wear, you know, your blazer, your shirt, your school tie, trousers, black shoes. You know, there was no going in train. Well, we didn't have trainers then, we had plimsolls. You know, you couldn't wear what you liked like that. You had to wear the proper uniform. We had school caps. I don't remember wearing a cap. I don't remember the other boys wearing a cap. I think we always had a cap with us, which was in a blazer pocket. I don't think we ever wore the caps. It was pretty strict in those days, even though you might get the impression, you know, the teachers smoke and we smoke behind the bike sheds and it all seemed pretty relaxed. It was pretty strict, to be honest. You know, if you were late for class or if you were late for school, they had the prefect out of the front there and, you know, you'd be in trouble. There was detention. I remember in this stupid class, what was it, arts and crafts or something ridiculous, we all had some lamb's wool. The teacher had obviously been up the downs and got a load of lamb's wool from the fences or wherever. And we each had a piece of this wool and we were meant to sort of spin it and whatever we did with it, I can't remember now, make it into a length of wool or something daft. And my friend next to me, he was a bit slow. And I helped him quite a bit in every lesson because he was a bit slow. So, I mean, I wasn't brilliant, but I was helping him. And I got his done for him, showed him how to do it. The teacher afterwards, he came along and he said to me, "You haven't even started yours." And I said, "No, I've been helping him do his." Because the teacher knew he was a bit slow. And he just said to me, "Two conduct marks." A conduct mark is where you had to go to detention after school. I think it was half an hour, something like that. You had to sit in the detention class, and I had two conduct marks, and I was just trying to help this chap next to me. That's all it was. I mean, who cares if you can make a bit of wool out of spinning some lamb stuff or something? I don't know. Again, that just made me dislike the whole place, everything about it. Just hated the whole thing. We used to have radio. There was radio for schools. The BBC did it. I think it started at 2 o'clock, and the school had a sort of sound system, a speaker in every classroom. Each speaker had its own volume control. And they had a central cupboard where the radio gear was. Now, of course, I, being interested in radio, I'd located the radio gear. So what I did was we'd have a school programme coming on at 2 o'clock. I'd go and change the radio station. So instead of the BBC Home Service school's programme, it was the BBC Light programme, you know, light entertainment, music and that sort of thing. No one ever caught me doing it, but that was quite amusing. when he turned the volume up on the speaker, right, it's 2 o'clock, and they're playing music, playing sort of perhaps some of the latest records, which was rather good fun. Of course, the whole class is cheering, and he then had to go to the cupboard or get the... No, he got the caretaker, that's right, because the caretaker was the only one that knew how to use the gear and how to put it on the right station. So, of course, by the time we'd actually got the school's programme coming through the speaker in our classroom, it was all too late anyway, so it was getting nearer to going home time, which was always fun. Talking of going home time, there was a bell or several bells around the school, really loud bells in the corridors. They would go off at the end of the day, so that exactly 4 o'clock or whatever it was, all the bells go, grab your stuff and literally run out of school. Get out of the damn place. These bells were on a time switch. Who found the time switch? It was in the same cupboard as the radio gear. There was this time switch and it was set to 4 o'clock. So it was quite an easy matter of setting it to 10 to 4. Went off 10 minutes early. I was only able to do that once because after that they sealed the thing. They put some seals on it. You couldn't get to it. Of course, at 10 to 4, the bells went off. Everyone looked at their watches. They looked at the clocks on the classroom walls. All said 10 to 4, but the bell had gone. So everyone's just grabbing their stuff and piling out of the classrooms, piling out of the school. The teachers were saying, wait, wait, it's not, it's the wrong time, wait. Of course, no one took any notice. The entire school, what was it, 600 boys? 600 boys left the school at 10 to 4. Absolutely fantastic. No one knew it was me. I remember on the way out thinking, all these boys, all these 600 boys leaving school 10 minutes early, it's down to me. I felt quite proud of myself. Now, that would have been a caning offence had I been caught for doing that. I don't think anyone was ever expelled. I don't remember people being expelled from school. I do remember one of the teachers was, I don't know about beaten up by one of the boys, but there was certainly a fight between one of the teachers and a boy. And I think the teacher came off worse. I wasn't in that class. I don't remember exactly what happened. There were just rumours. So there we are. That's given you hopefully an insight into what school was like back in the 1950s and early 60s, or my boys' school anyway. There were loads of incidents, lots and lots of different things that happened, but I won't bore you with that. This was just to give you an idea of what it was like in those happy or unhappy days. Don't get me wrong, not all the kids at school hated it. I remember some of the kids there, they loved it. They just loved school. I could never understand why that was, but they looked forward to Monday morning, unlike me. I remember Sunday evenings on the radio, was it the BBC Light programme? Sing Something Simple came on at 7 o'clock, and I hated that tune, Sing Something Simple, because that meant it's Sunday evening and it's Monday tomorrow, back to school. There we are. Thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. Bye-bye for now.